Welcome to the Stories We Share podcast. On this podcast, you'll hear stories from several different people who are all following Jesus and the ways that he is working in each one of their lives. You'll hear stories of heartbreak. You'll hear stories of triumph and victory. In all of it, God is working out each one of our stories to show his goodness, his faithfulness, and his love. Our prayer is that you will find hope in the stories we share.
Hey, good afternoon, church family. I want to welcome you to the Stories We Share podcast, a monthly podcast where we share stories of God's faithfulness, his goodness through people's life stories, and also stories of leadership, because we have so many people in this church and in this community that we just want you to hear their stories, because we believe God speaks through our lives and speaks through our stories. And I was just sharing with Chris just a moment ago that it's not even our own story. It is God's story in and through us. And so we should be willing, open, and eager to share what God's up to in our life. And so today I'm thankful to have Chris Mullins with us on the podcast. Chris is more than just a congregant here at the church. He's a friend. And Chris and Annabelle have been at Centerville Community Church for some time. And if you're looking for to a couple that serves, they serve and they love this community very well. And Chris is also currently the president of Reliable Electric here in the Centerville area and doing a great job with that organization and company and leading a really good thing there. And so, Chris, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. And I'll let you, in your own words, do a little introduction of yourself and your family, and then start in by just sharing what was it like being a little Chris Mullins running around in your grown up days.
Yeah, happy to. Thanks for having me. So first off, I'll start with my family. I have an amazing wife, Annabelle, who you mentioned earlier. Very strong in her faith, very involved in the church, serves on the board, as you know.
Yes, she does.
Just a fantastic mom, wife, and I can't say enough good things about her. We could spend 2 days just on that. But we have 6 kids. We're a blended family. We have 6 kids from age 15 to 27. We have kind of a bonus couple that's become part of our family the last couple years, as well, in that same age group. And then, they've all blessed us with, 4 grandbabies, and we've got 1 on the way, in November. So, we're staying pretty busy.
That's awesome.
Very blessed with the family, and a large family at that.
So, yeah.
As far as growing up, I was born and raised in Franklin, Ohio. Okay. We weren't very well off. We were poor. Lived in a small house, 2 bedrooms. My sisters shared a bedroom, and then my parents shared a bedroom. And I slept on a mattress in our living room floor at one point, and then in our kitchen at another point.
Okay.
Until about the age of 12. And then we had an old shed out in the backyard that I kind of fixed up and made my 12-year-old bachelor pad, if you will.
Wow.
Yeah. So, extension cord and kerosene heater would get me, year round.
You'd fight through those hard winters in Franklin with that, huh?
Yeah. Kerosene heater, I'm sure, was really good on the lungs.
Oh, man.
But it did the job. Yeah. I was treated very differently growing up than my sisters. I didn't really understand why when I was a kid, but it didn't make sense later on. I'd be alone in a room with one of my sisters and just get dragged out of the room, spanked and yelled at, and I didn't know why.
Yeah.
So I was never really close with my parents because of all of that.
Yeah.
I started working when I was in 6th grade.
Wow.
Made $8 an hour under the table from a guy, painting signs, street signs. So at a young age, I kind of developed what I'll call an unhealthy attraction to money, partially because of that. I worked all through junior high and high school, and I would, because of my relationship with my parents, I would use that money to try to buy them gifts, because it would give me at least a day or so of what felt like love.
Peace,
right?
Yeah,
and appreciation.
Love. Wow.
I remember in junior high, I actually purchased them a washer and dryer for their anniversary. For 2 or 3 days, it felt like I was one of the family, and mm. and I really enjoyed it. So that kind of became a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in church. We went to a small local Baptist church. You know, it became a negative to me because, on the way to church, I'd be called by my mom, a gonzo or a big nose POS and say I was worthless and I would never amount to anything like my dad. And, then we'd get to church and it was rainbows and butterflies. And then, we'd leave church and it would be kind of right back to it. So, I just had a negative feeling about church and
sure.
and people that went to church and all of that. So, when I got old enough, I kind of distanced myself from that, but I pretty much
so.
Kept my, I mean, I'm sorry.
I said, and rightly so. I mean, to think of, you're like, if this is what church is and this is what Christians are like, I want nothing to do with it.
That's you exactly know? Right. And I believed in God. I believed that Jesus died on the cross. I believed, because of the treatment and stuff as a kid, that I just wasn't worthy to be wow. a part of that. And that, again, because of those same instances made me feel like I was abandoned by God, that he didn't sure. care enough to protect me. And it was kind of the same with my dad. So my dad was very passive, very quiet. We never mm-hmm. had any real conversation. I can't think of maybe more than one or two sentences at any given point in time growing mm-hmm. up. And I now know the reason even behind all of that, which I'm sure we'll come to here in just a bit. But
yeah.
So I was very much alone as a kid. It was kind of me on my own. I did my own thing. School was tough. Younger, it was kind of an escape to go to school, get away from the house. Mm-hmm. As you get older, kids become a little tougher. And because yeah. we were poor and I didn't have money, we, you know, get made fun of and things like that. So as I got older, there really wasn't a safe space. So I just kind of crawled in my bubble or in my shed out back and did my own thing.
Do you literally live out there full time out in that thing?
I would come in for dinner. That was about it.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Wow.
Yep. My bed was out there. I had a little workout bench and a rabbit ear TV. That's, you know, everybody's not going to know what those are. But
that's right. No, I know what those are.
Had to get up to change the channel.
You got to turn those just right. You know, lick your finger, touch the end, hope it works. You know,
there you go.
Oh man, Chris, tell me, I mean, those years, no doubt. I mean, those are formative years. We both know that. And those formative years can shape good things and then some hardened areas in our life. And just hearing, you know, your maybe hardness towards the church because you watched something, you thought this is phony. I don't want anything to do with this. And even the isolation then from your parents. How long down life's journey, or maybe it's a lifelong journey. I don't know. I'm asking this question kind of unsure of the answer, till you realize, wow, God's beginning to heal me in some of these areas and God's healing me with how I view, you know, view certain things.
Yeah. So man, I think it's a lifelong journey, right?
Sure.
I still have trauma and scars from those things. I handle them differently now. And I think the biggest thing that God's done in my life, almost to an extreme, careful what you pray for, right? Is I've developed a sense of empathy that I didn't have before, that I really put myself in other people's shoes when I'm having a conversation and things like that. So I hurt now for my mom, and I'll share why. So when I was 19, I was asked to come into a counseling session with my mom. She had started going to counseling at that point in time. And during that session, I learned that she had been sexually abused from a very young age. I want to say it's 2 or 3 years old through her teen years by her brother and several others. Sorry, I get a little choked up.
That's okay.
When we're having that conversation, at that time, I didn't have kids, so I didn't really know the feeling of that. But now that I have daughters and I have kids, I just, my heart hurts so much for my mom, knowing the age that she went through all of that. And, And there's peace in knowing that she did better than her parents, right? So mm-hmm. it might not have been great for me, but she did better for her parents. So I think that, I mean, there's still pain there. You saw me getting emotional and sure. things like that, but it's a different kind of pain. It's not a feeling sorry for myself or a pity. It's that the things that led to her actions were caused by things that I just couldn't imagine.
Yeah.
So it was her dealing with her trauma and her demons. And I just happened to be the fall guy, yeah. as a kid, but,
that's right.
but, just the deeper I've gotten in my faith and just knowing the mistakes I've made in my life and the grace and mercy that God has shown me and, the amazing things he's done in and through my life. It's hard not to, show that same kind of grace and yeah. understanding to others. So
that's so good.
My relationship with my parents is good now. They're great grandparents to our kids and now our grandkids. Hmm. And she's done a lot of healing. It's still difficult at time, right? Because sure. I can't change or rewind what happened when I was a kid, but yeah. I can put it into perspective and know
that's
that
right.
That she did what the best she could.
That's right. Even those moments where you felt, man, this is ugly and this is not what I deserve. I mean, you just said it. A whole new empathy from that. You're 19 years old receiving and hearing that information for the first time. And now, even older now, looking back thinking, man, I've got kids of my own that were her age when they experienced that. And that's a characteristic of God because he empathizes with us, you know, because he walked through pain, sorrow, loss. People rejecting him. And, I'm so glad you unpacked that aspect of it. Cause they're for that person today that maybe listen to this and realize, hey, that dysfunction, that pain, yes, it's in my past, but I've not found the healing, you know, for that yet. Your story is a reminder to them. Yes, it's a lifelong journey, no doubt, but there is hope. There's hope because of the cross. There's hope because of Christ's resurrection and, he can heal. And he will heal, and he wants to bring hope and restoration. Tell me about that, your relationship with your dad. I know you unpacked a little bit with your mom. Your dad, what did he do when you were growing up? Was he in what field of work was he in?
I absolutely will do that, but real quick, just on the back to the mom part sure. for a second, for full clarity. So, and I know we get to probably get to that in a few about me accepting Christ, but when I was 19, I had told my mom that I forgave her. Mm. And I told myself that I forgave her, but my actions didn't reflect that. Right. I still held on to it, for a long period of time, until I accepted Christ in 2018. And the reason I share that is, 2 months into, after I accepted Christ, it was weighing on my heart that I had never actually forgiven her. Wow. So I scheduled a breakfast with her and I took breakfast to her and we had a sit down conversation. And I apologize. This stuff's still, okay. I don't talk about it that often. It's still sure. emotional, but it's a good emotion. It's not a pain anymore. I felt so much peace and relief in the moment that I sat down with her and said, hey, I told you I never forgave you. Or excuse me, I told you I forgave you. I never really did. I held on to that grudge. I held on to that pain and it came out in how I treated you. But once I sat down and I truly forgave her and worked through that with her, and it was a couple hour conversation, I mean, it was just like a one ton weight lifted off my shoulders.
Wow.
But that came much later.
Sure. That's a beautiful thing, Chris. That's a beautiful thing. Tell me about your dad a little bit as well.
So my dad was very quiet, very passive growing up. And, again, we never had any meaningful conversation, if you will. There are definitely no birds and bees conversations or anything deep like that, but it was usually superficial. And what I also learned when I was 19 is, and I have a ton of respect and grace and empathy for my dad now, was he knew what my mom had been through. Mm. She treated him the same way she treated me. It was a man thing, not a me thing.
Yeah.
And so him being quiet and being passive wasn't weakness. It was strength.
Yeah. Wow.
And I shouldn't say being passive was strength, but biting his tongue not to attack or retaliate or whatever was him showing mercy and grace. And I didn't know it at the time, but I do now.
Wow. Yeah. Because it could have been ugly. You know what I mean? If that restraint wasn't there. That's huge. That is huge. Chris, tell me, you had mentioned it, and so we'll head that way. You know, your work journey throughout the years, where you found yourself and how it led to that 2018 moment where God was knocking at the heart, you know, knocking at the door and saying, hey, you gonna let me in there or not? Was there moments along that journey before you came to Christ in 2018 where he was knocking, but maybe that knock felt a little bit more faint, or you were in the back room and you weren't able to hear it? That type of imagery when it comes to coming to Christ.
Yeah, I think looking back, I see where he was knocking, but I wasn't listening. There's numerous times I can look back on my life over the years and see that he was absolutely present and protected me from things outside of my control and things within my control. But as far as leading up to that point, I guess the first thing is because of my childhood and the early experience with money and figuring out that would buy me moments of happiness and things like that, money kind of became my God. I had a chip on my shoulder. I was going to prove my mom wrong, that I wasn't going to be worthless and that I was going to be successful. So at a very young age, I mean, even through high school, I was working two jobs. When I got out of high school, I was working two jobs, sometimes three jobs. When I finally got down to a career and working one job, I was still working 80 plus hours a week, just chasing all the things that I thought would make me happy, right? Sure. And the things I didn't have as a kid. I got to the point where I was making a ridiculous amount of money. I climbed a ladder in a pretty large company, became executive vice president, was going on extravagant trips, drove a $150,000 car, just living. I had all the things that I knew that I wanted that would make me happy. But the more and more I got, the more just defeated, depressed, and empty I felt. And no matter what I would do, I just couldn't find happiness. And I blew through money like crazy. I had every toy possible, and it would bring me a couple of days of joy, right? And then a couple of days go by, and the newness wear off, and it would just sit in the corner of the garage and collect dust. Yeah. So, even through all of that, even though I was chasing the wrong things, there's multiple stories. I was in an explosion as a firefighter in 2003. That was pretty early on. I know you don't know that, you don't think I'm 30 years or older, but I'm a little older.
I wouldn't have guessed it, but now that you told the crowd, I'm just going to believe you.
But in 2003, I was in a structure fire as a firefighter, an explosion, and the state fire marshal said that if we'd have been 3 feet further into the building, I'd probably be dead. Wow. And at the same time, that same explosion, right before the explosion happened, I had looked down at our hose because our hose quit flowing water, and it burnt my ears and the top of my helmet, third degree burns, and I had to have some surgeries and stuff. But had I not looked down right in that moment, I would have been looking up and it would have melted my mask to my face.
Wow.
So just there's so many moments like that, that just looking down at the right second changed everything. Right.
Yes.
So, he was present. I could go on and on about just different things like that in my life that that he was there. I just wasn't listening.
Sure.
And then I'm sorry, what was the
to leading us up then to that 2018 moment and kind of your journey here at CCC and a little bit of, I mean, Annabelle had started attending here before you, I believe, right?
Absolutely.
What year what year she started coming here?
It was several years before me. I want to say probably 2014-ish.
Okay. In that amount of years, how many times did she ask you to get to church?
And you're a lot.
I'm not going.
a
few?
Lot.
Was there a few?
Yeah. And that was just it, though. She was never pushy. She never asked. And it wasn't her asking that got me to go as much as just watching how she lived it. Right. Uh-huh. And so 2017, I started wrestling with there's got to be more. There's got to be something. I've got to figure something out. And that was after we won't go down that rabbit hole, but that was after a few instances of contemplating ending my life because I couldn't be happy. I couldn't find the answer to the emptiness, right? I couldn't, no matter what I did, what I succeeded at, I just couldn't be happy. And, I had a few rough moments there, but met Annabelle. We met in 2007. She, just every time I saw her, she would either be praying, because things are going great or praying because things are going bad. Right. It was just, that was her first go-to no matter, what was going on. She would go to prayer and I would watch her do that. And she's always been, you know, where you've met her. She's just very lighthearted, very, friendly, approachable, and just has a very unique energy. So I just watched her, not in a creepy way, but, sure. but
well, both.
as time went on, I obviously fell in love with her, but, I was still very guarded, right? I didn't want to get remarried. I'd been married before, and the same things that, caused, my unhappiness caused hers. Right. But I didn't want to get remarried. I didn't want to commit, and I was very clear on that with her. Fast forward, we had twins. I still said I didn't want to get married, but okay, we'll raise twins. We lived in separate homes for several years. I would have them half the time. She would have them half the time. Again, fast forward to 2017, I'm thinking, okay, none of this feels right anymore. Beginning of 2017 or the end of 2016, we moved in together. And she began to ask me every Sunday morning, you want to go to church? And I would always say no. Occasionally I would go, but I would take my agenda and I'd work on my plan for the week and what topics I need to cover and meeting prep, things like that. I never really paid attention. I would just do it to appease her. And eventually that turned into, I would just always say no because I didn't like it, didn't enjoy it, wasn't engaged. In 2018, January 2018, she came up and I was still in bed and said, hey, do you want to go to church? I said, no, I'm good. I got a lot to do today. And she said, okay. She left. Our twins come up and say, Dad, do you want to go to church? I said, no, I'm good. I got a lot to do today. So they said, okay. And they left. And I'm laying there in bed and I just start wrestling with it. At the time I didn't know why, or I do now. Right. But, my heart rate picked up. I just started feeling really anxious and, I couldn't explain it. And I just got up and got dressed and went downstairs and said, I'm coming with you. That was, early on in your career at CCC, I believe.
That would have been.
Did you come in August, 2017?
August of 17.
Yeah. So January 2018, and I'm sitting there and in church, and she just every once in a while would look over at me, but I felt myself the whole service wrestling. And I remember you had, I think it was Matthew 18, and you had just spoke briefly about the parable of the lost sheep, right? And then Anson, I think unplanned, sang Reckless Love that same day. I was wrecked, but, I found myself, sitting there in the pew, just, again, palms sweaty, hearts racing. The best way I could describe it is I just felt broken in that moment. I just prayed, for forgiveness, for clarity, for guidance, and, just for a new path. And, I remember leaving church that day and I just felt like a different person.
Wow.
I mean, it was almost instant. I didn't know what to do with it at that point.
Sure.
Cause I didn't have a good example of what that looked like.
Yeah.
But I felt different. I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time and, I knew things were going to change.
That's powerful. I mean, to think of, I mean, you go at the beginning of that story of a no, I'm staying home. You know what I mean? And that one story right there, just what a 30-40 minute segment is our lifelong story of so many just saying no to the gospel in that way. God wrestling with our heart, all because he wants to meet you that day. And he brought you here for not just to sit by Annabelle and the kids, but a divine purpose, because he wanted to speak to you. And who would have thought January 2018 to God had the beginning of this journey of a real authentic relationship with him, and how that's just changed your life and perspective in all areas. You know, I've had a front row seat to watch that. It's been a beautiful thing. And I have no doubt all the while back then, you know, you were wrestling with job and work and what's all this going to look like in the future. And God had a plan all along for the season you're in now. You know what I mean? And seasons come and seasons go, no doubt, in work and life and in all things. But God's got you in a season now to love and to minister and to be a missionary at an electric company, which seems very weird to think about. But
I used to think that too.
He's got you there for a reason, you know. Absolutely. And tell us about that journey, and then if you're willing, just about the summer, because we know, you know, as we've talked, this summer's been one that's throwing a few different curveballs at you and your family, and how you've watched God be at work in those. So a little bit about your journey at Reliable and then the family.
Absolutely. So Reliable was an accident. We'll start with that. I was doing a project at Snowshoe, West Virginia, with a friend of mine, in a resort community, doing some infrastructure and things like that. And we were about to wrap that up. And Joe Ryan, who's the owner of Reliable Electric, they had actually done the electric on a building that I had built in charge of building in 2012.
Okay.
And we met at that time and kind of became friends. And he actually was very instrumental in my faith as well. He's a very strong Christian, just leads from his heart. Probably when I think of top five people, when I think of the word warrior for Christ, he's at the top of the list. And just became a friend. He wasn't preaching to me over those years and stuff, but I just got to just witness how he lived his life, how he poured into others, and how he was with his kids, how he was with his wife, and just got to see an example of what a healthy marriage and a healthy family and stuff looks like through him. So we just became very good friends, and we were going to lunch one day, and he asked me what I was doing next after that project, and I said, you know, I don't know, but I'm not stressed about it. God's brought me along this path this far, and I'll just trust where we go next. And I said, but I'm sure the right opportunity come along. About a month later, he reaches out to me and says, hey, so I think I have a right opportunity that came along. And he said, what would you think about?
He remembered that line.
Yeah, he did. He had gone back and consulted with like his C12 group and his wife and things like that. Because I'm not an electrician, I don't have an electrical background, and but he came to the conclusion that he wanted me to come over and kind of learn the business and become president. So he and his wife, who had just retired from Procter & Gamble, could travel more and be out of the country and know that the company's in good hands. So. After a couple months of conversations, we decided it made sense. At first I said, no, that's crazy. Why would I do that? But Annabelle and I prayed through it, for quite some time, and I just felt nudged to do it, partially because, the Reliable mission statement before I ever showed up there was working for a purpose greater than ourselves in a manner that honors God.
Wow.
So, it's very faith forward. Christ is in everything we do. Before Monday meetings, we pray. Before every meeting, we pray. Monday morning, we ask for prayer requests and stuff. So it just felt like, man, this would be good. I didn't realize how good, as I get transitioned in there and I start growing in my faith. It became the first time in my life where, good or bad, it depends on who you ask, I'm the same person at work, at church, and at home. It doesn't matter where, I can just be me, right? And wasn't putting on a show or anything like that. And that was also just a big piece, that I got from that. And the owners, Joe and Leslie, just gave me a free rein, if you will, to grow the ministry side of things, to pour into our people, in some cases speak a lot of truth with love, but truth nonetheless. And what turned into some awkward conversations on the front end about faith and things like that, here we are 4 years later, where it's pretty common multiple times a week to have somebody in my office where we're praying together. Wow. Just, hey, I've got this going on, or so-and-so's got this going on. Do you have a few minutes so we can pray? Mm-hmm. So, I'm somewhere where my faith is, like I said, it's the same, no matter where I am. Yes. I'm the same, no matter where I am, not perfect, yes, but get better each day. Right.
Yes.
Because of that though, I think God's brought me to a place where I can get through things that I don't know how I would have gotten through before. Yeah. Right. And that kind of leads to this summer and, the things going on there. So Joe, who brought me on board, so he could travel, about a year after I arrived, was diagnosed with ALS. So it became a necessity for me to be there more than a desire, so they could travel. Okay. That diagnosis was a couple years ago. They're, talking about weeks left, in Joe's timing. And, it's been tough, but he is, like I said earlier, one of the strongest warriors for Christ I've ever known. I have zero doubt that this little blip on earth doesn't matter. What matters is that I'll see him again soon. So that brings me a ton of peace.
Yes.
Even though he can't speak today, he can kind of hunt and peck on an iPad conversations. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I'm actually going to be there this evening, kind of hanging with him.
Okay.
That's been huge. Just got the way God's worked through him, even as he's going through this, has been amazing. He's sharing his story. They have a blog called Living Out Loud, where they're just sharing the ugly, but he's remained steadfast in his faith. Wow. And he's been an encouragement to me while he's going through all this. So, we had, some scares with our daughter, our 15-year-old, actually collapsed at VBS earlier this summer, had a seizure, was in a seizure for quite some period of time before they could get her out of it, and then in a 3-day period she had about 47 seizures. We've been to 3 different hospitals, and after a few week-long stays at the hospital and sleeping at the hospital with her, they've found a treatment plan that seems to be working. She's now, this past Saturday was 4 weeks with no seizures, which
awesome.
Is fantastic.
Yes, it is.
And even in that, there's just so many great stories that I could share. I know we're limited on time, but just spending that time with her in the hospital and being there around the clock, we had a lot of time to talk and share faith and different things like that. And, it was just good time, good bonding time. And, there's one of the things she had told my wife, told Annabelle, was, I liked Dad staying at the hospital. It felt more like camp than a hospital. So it's just, it sounds silly, but even that, and coming home after she got released from the hospital, the four girls and I sat out on the front sidewalk looking at the stars and just chatted till like midnight the day after we got released. So it just led to some good conversations and some bonding. We still have some challenges ahead in her health, we see the blessings that we've had through that experience. And then lastly, and most recently, my dad, a few weeks ago, was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And we're working through that with him and trying to find the best treatment. But after his first doctor's appointment, my two sisters, my mom and I, were standing out in front of the hospital, and we did something that I would have never thought that we would do. I asked him if we could kind of huddle up and say a prayer in the parking lot.
And they did.
So So we don't know where that goes from here, but we have a lot of faith, and we continue to pray that God leads us to the right doctors and the right medical team, and that he's one of the exceptions to pancreatic cancer. So.
That's right, Chris. I mean, those three stories are, you know, there's moments in our life, and especially when it's our kid, you know, and then now your dad and one of your really good friends, and I know you, and I'm very similar in this way. We're fixers, and so we want to fix things if it's not right, or if somebody's hurting, or and in these three situations, in the moment, with all that you couldn't fix it. You can't push a button and change this medical journey that any one of them were on. And I mean, what's it been like for you, just experiencing the love and comfort of God through those moments? I know you've had some pretty tender moments with Joe, and obviously some very tender moments with your daughter this summer, and even your dad now. I mean, to be choked up, that moment of, you'll never forget that moment of prayer out in the parking lot. How has God revealed himself to you in those moments, I guess?
That's a good question. And I think the biggest thing I can say is, it's just, you know, it's biblical, right? A peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah,
I'm paraphrasing, but
that's right.
I haven't felt anxious or I mean, obviously I'm emotional and I'm sad that I'm losing my closest friend that's like a brother to me. Mm-hmm. I'm sad that my dad has pancreatic cancer, and I'm sad that my daughter's going through this stuff, but knowing that regardless of the outcome of these things, and knowing that God didn't create these things, right? Man created these things. We go through these things because of us, because of the fall, not because of God.
Yeah.
But he's with me through them, right?
Yeah.
And before I talked to my daughter, or before I prayed with my parents, I prayed to myself and asked God to guide me, right? The right words, the right encouragement, and those things. So prayer's become such a staple in my life. I'm not exaggerating when I say I probably pray 40 or 50 times a day, and sometimes it's the silliest, smallest things.
Yeah.
God, I don't want to get frustrated. I'm looking for this screwdriver. Can you please? Right. So it's just everything.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I put a sticker on my monitor at work that says, pray about it all. He cares about it all. Right.
That's right. It's so
good. And I truly believe that.
Yeah.
And while I still pray and hold out hope that, my dad would be fine, my daughter would be fine, we're towards the end of Joe's journey. But even that, I mean, God's a God of miracles, right? So
that's,
I still
right.
hold out hope and prayer in that. But my
that's
biggest
right.
hope lies in that.
Yes.
I'll see him again.
That's right.
Right. And Joe specifically, knowing who he is and how he's impacted my life. I have a ton of hope in that. He's the type of guy that would be at the gate waiting on me and say, hey, I've been here for a while. Let me show you around.
Chris, where you been? That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. So, that's powerful. They, you know, when I think of your story, and I think of the listeners today that either listen through our YouTube page or iTunes, there'll be so many that are in a season where they're looking for what's next in their work life. And they want God's best in that, you know, a good majority that'll be listening to this podcast. But we also know what it feels like. You ever felt like you got the silent treatment from God? You know,
yeah.
It's like, hey, I'm looking for an answer, and it doesn't feel like anything's coming through. I bet if you were to get out a pen and paper in 2018 or before that and said, hey, write down a few things that you may be doing in 7 or 8 years, I don't think you would have been written down president of an electrical company.
No.
In Dayton, Ohio.
Would not have.
But God has orchestrated such a move for you. What are some encouraging words that you would share to that one that feels like they're in a season, whether they're in a holding pattern, and they just can't see what God's up to with work life, and or that person that just wants to do something else, and they feel like, I just don't see any doors opening. How can you encourage them today, knowing how patient you were, you know what I mean, on your journey?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me, at least, is earlier on, I was praying, right? And I was trying to get answers. But two mistakes I made. Number one, I wasn't doing a great job listening, right? Mm-hmm. So I was, and number two, I was praying for the answer that I wanted, right?
That's good.
You said this, good, but I heard good. This. All right, I got right. And yeah. That hasn't worked out for me. Whenever I feel like I get a clear answer I go my own path instead, that usually hasn't worked out too well. But, for me, especially in that first 6 months to a year, just finding quiet with no distraction, one of the best prayers and connections with God. The first time it felt like a two-way communication for me was on the side of a mountain in Montana by myself with a Bible. Wow. I surrounded by God's creation and just spent hours just praying, reading and listening. So, I guess the first thing I would say is, if you're not hearing, what God's saying is make sure you're listening.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And two, just, it's his time, not ours. So it didn't happen at the time I wanted it to happen. I was searching the wrong places, but, when quieted all the noise around me and really focused on prayer and on God, he made it clear.
My sheep listen to my voice and they follow me. And for us to Psalm 46, be still long enough to listen, we can't listen when we are trying to manufacture outcomes, which I've been there, you know what I mean? And trying to get God to see it our way. We'll close with this. Tell me, if just one of those things that you shared of the three were going on in your life or anyone's life, one is so taxing, so tiring, defeating at times when you think about, I want this to be different, but it's not with Joe and your daughter and your dad. For the one that's going through a really tough time as well, your perspective has been so good. One of hope, one of, I don't need to be anxious, but you said it a little bit ago, I'm just going to pray 20, 30, 40, 50 times a day about everything. And, what would be an encouraging word we could close with somebody that's going through something medically, something with a friend, something in their family, something with their spouse, to keep fighting the good fight and, keep their eyes on Christ.
Yeah. I guess first I'd say just Christ first and everything, right? Yeah. So all of the stuff that I'm dealing with, I can deal with because I have, and again, I'm not perfect at it, but I get better at it every day. Put Christ first and everything I do. And that makes all of those things not only easier to carry, but just realize that you're not carrying it alone, right?
That's right.
So that was huge. Community would probably be the second thing. And that's one thing that started, I don't want to go on a real long story, but, early on at Centerville Community, when I was still trying to figure out what was next after I accepted Christ, Tim Howeller actually had, come down and introduced himself and, told me about a men's group that was reading Heart of a Warrior and asked me if I wanted to be a part of that. And I initially said, let me see, I've got a lot going on. Prayed about it, felt nudged. I did it. And it opened up my heart to community in a way that I had never experienced it before, right? You're surrounded by, in this case, it was a men's group, but Christ following men who have been through some stuff, right? So some of these have been around for a long time, some not as long, but this group had been through some stuff. And to have conversations and be real in a non-judgmental way and get feedback and life experience was huge. And that group led to more community and more, being more open to other community, to the point where myself and our family, we're just surrounded by amazing community between the church and the gathering and my men's groups and C12. And it's all because of just saying yes when God called, right? That's one huge time.
Yeah.
And it led to just something I couldn't have imagined. So when I'm going through this with my daughter and with Joe and with my dad, whether it's when I go to the altar to pray and I feel your hand come up on my back and you pray with me, or somebody else in the church, or the random texts I get from people at church. Hmm. It just helps because you're not alone, right?
That's huge.
So I would say the biggest encouragement I would find is don't do what I used to do, which is retreat and just curl up in a ball. Use your community, lean on your community, and our church community is amazing.
That's huge. So, that's a timely word, Chris. Thanks for sharing. And thanks for joining us on the podcast this month. I know it'll be, as I shared at the beginning, an encouragement to many. And, you know, Chris and Annabelle, if you're looking for someone that lives out their faith very publicly, those two are the two to watch. And so thank you for all you guys do at the church, the way you serve and love this community, and the way that you serve and love your workplaces and the communities out there. And we love you and your family. And I'm going to close this out in prayer, and can't thank you enough for joining us today. Let's pray. Father, thanks for Chris and for the Mullins family and for his story. And we just see your fingerprints all over his life story. God, in those moments where it felt like you may have been a mile away or 100 miles away, you were close and you were pursuing him every step of the way. To God, the moment where he said yes to you. And God, we thank you for every step in his story. We thank you for the season they're in now. And God, while there's parts of the season they're in now that seem daunting, grieving, hurting, when we think of Joe, we pray that you'd be with he and his wife and their family during this time. And his daughter, we thank you for the way you have seen her through this medical journey this summer. And we thank you for 4 weeks where things have been calm and normal. And God, we lift up Chris's dad. We pray to God that you are the great physician. You are the healer, God. And so we pray that you would be at work on his medical journey. And we just thank you for Annabelle and Chris. We pray that you bless them greatly. Bless the listeners to this podcast today. And we pray that each one that was able to listen in whatever realm was able to be encouraged in their walk with you. It's a reminder yet today. I was reminded over and over and over again, God, that you're a God that will never leave us. And you will never forsake us. And so we cling to that today, and we give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Chris, thanks again. And thanks, listeners, for joining us on the Stories We Share podcast. We will be back next month hearing another story of God's faithfulness, goodness, and leadership in our community. Until then, God bless.
Thank you for listening to the Stories We Share podcast. The Stories We Share is a ministry of Centerville Community Church and is recorded by our lead pastor, Kedrick Hershey. If you have a story that you would like to share, we would love to hear it. Please reach out to us at office@centervillecommunity.org. And be sure to follow us on all of our socials. You can find us pretty much anywhere at Centerville Community. And we'll see you next time on the Stories We Share.